She already gave her one. That was me. Some faith. Exponential grace and gratitude. Well, if I'd have known that, Mark, I'd have just given it to you. Anybody needing a communion cup while we're there? Some faith. S-U-M. Some faith. Exponential grace and gratitude. This morning, the text comes from Luke, and I'm just going to read through the entire passage and then come back and kind of go through it again. But start with just reading the story in its entirety. Luke 7, 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for lunch, and Jesus accepted the invitation. As they sat down to eat, a woman of the streets, a prostitute, heard he was there and brought an exquisite flask filled with expensive perfume. Going in, she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping, with her tears falling down upon his feet, and she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured their perfume on them. When Jesus' host, a Pharisee, saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, "This proves that Jesus is no prophet. For if God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman this one is." Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "All right, teacher," Simon replied, "go ahead." Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 5,000 to one, 500 to the other. But neither of them could pay him back, so he kindly forgave them both, letting them keep the money. Which do you suppose loved him most after that? "I suppose the one who had owed the most," Simon answered. "Correct," Jesus agreed. Then he turned to the woman and said, "Simon, look, see this woman kneeling here? When I entered your home, you didn't bother to offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You refused me the customary kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the usual courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has covered my feet with rare perfume. Therefore, her sins, and they are many, are forgiven, for she loved me much. But one who is forgiven little shows little love." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then the men at the table said to themselves, "Who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Everybody wants to be a somebody. But I'm going to tell you right now, the somebody you want to be is the S-U-M, add some faith, somebody. Add some faith. And it's not always easy. We go and we look over and over again in the life of Jesus, and it's according to your faith it's been done to you. Are we the ones that saves? No. But we have to believe. We have to believe in the mighty work of God Almighty. God's exponential grace should easily and always yield our exponential gratitude. You know, here we have a story, kind of like within a story. We have a story about Jesus being invited to this man's house, a Pharisee named Simon, who obviously is a little well-to-do. And one of the questions is, why does he invite Jesus? And why does he treat Jesus the way he treats him? Why does he have these questions? Like, what's going on here? You know, classically, this parable, as short as it is called the two debtors. And first of all, what is debt, right? We have to understand, we have to like clarify what is debt. Simply put, debt is something you owe, right? Whether it's money or a donkey, okay? You owe something to someone else. Or an institution or a government. I mean, we can see in our minds right now, we can see that big old ticker that just keeps adding up that national debt, right? And we can talk about the good and the bad of debt, right? We know that there are a lot of people in this world that take advantage of certain systems, whether it's the creditor or the debtor. But we all owe a debt. And it's a debt that we cannot pay. And all we need is number 249. Jesus paid it all. In your hymn books, it's number 249. And I don't know why I remember that number, but I looked it up this morning and I was so proud of myself. I said, 249. Why? Right? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. And how did he do that? X marks the spot. On the cross. So let's take a look at this story, and I just want to slow down a little bit. And I want to back up. I want to back up a little bit in chapter 7. So at the beginning of chapter 7, it seems that Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Now, classically, we find the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 through 7. But a lot of the material is the same. And this is in chapter 6. So now we get to chapter 7 of Luke, and it says, when he had concluded these things, right? Those things, the Sermon on the Mount. And we have the story of the centurion who has a very, very sick slave, a servant, who's at the point of death. And Jesus says, man, I have not found anybody, even in all of Israel, with such great faith. The centurion basically said, like, send word to Jesus. He doesn't even need to come to the house. He doesn't even need to come under my roof. I just know if he wants it done, it'll be done. And at that very moment, the servant was healed. Faith. We've got to have some faith. And a lot of times, it's not easy. Doubt is a lot easier than faith. Right? Doubt is really close to debt. Right? Because our debt is so great that we doubt the fact that anybody can take it away, and we just live in this cloud of shame. And we're like, gosh, can anybody take it away? And that's the crux of the story this morning about this woman. Soon thereafter, the story of the centurion, we find Jesus in the town of Nain, which is southern Galilee. And there is a widow, and it's worth reading a little bit. This widow had an only son who had died. Just think about that for a second. Right? A widow, an only son who has died, who is in the coffin, and Jesus shows up. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he came up and touched the open coffin. And the pallbearer stopped, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." This report about Jesus went throughout Judea and all the vicinity. So it happens in Galilee, and the story is so powerful, it goes all the way down to Judea. Now, that's probably why we have this story of the Pharisee named Simon, who invites Jesus into his house. And so, then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, and a woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the Pharisee's house. Now, let's think about this house. So most people would say that these houses, like especially this person who's probably somewhat well off, right? He's a Pharisee, his name's Simon. And there's probably this courtyard in the middle of his house, right? And so they're outside, it's kind of warm weather, and they're reclining, right? And traditionally, just imagine, I'm leaning on my left elbow, my feet are back this way. And so people were really invited into these little dinners and these banquets, especially when a rabbi, somebody who had like a lot of wisdom, was coming into town, right? So this Pharisee, he invites him over, and he says, "Come on over to my house." And And so when this woman, who probably had heard Jesus speaking and preaching the good news that even her sins are forgiven, what does she do? She goes in and she just wants to express her gratitude, right? She had some faith. She had experienced the grace of God, and she wants to express her gratitude exponentially. Why did this man named Simon the Pharisee invite Jesus? A, he admired him. Probably not the way he treated him, right? So customarily, what would happen when somebody came over, especially the guest, right? Jesus is supposed to be like the star of the show here, right? He's the main attraction. He's the rabbi who's been invited. The teacher. Well, the custom would be to put your hand on the guest's shoulder and give him a kiss, a holy kiss. You are to offer some water. You know, we wear our shoes, like, we don't have to worry about that. Right? Your feet are all dusty, right? So wash your feet, come on in, relax. And then some fragrance, right? Some oil, some aromatherapy, burn some incense, or give them a little, you know, olive oil for the head, right? Just to freshen up. Clearly, Simon was not an admirer of Jesus. B, he could have been baiting him for blasphemy. But he does give him a sign of respect, calling him teacher, rabbi. I think C is the answer, that he was a collector of celebrities. That he invited Jesus over to show off his world. Like, come on into my house, right? But then what happens is this woman comes in, and let me just that, you know, her hair, right, is all the way down. And a woman just doesn't go around with her letting her hair down in this culture. But she doesn't care, because what she's doing is she is at the feet of Jesus, and her tears are pouring out because of what she has experienced, what she's heard about the good news of God's grace extended to her. She's wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, and she's taking this very expensive perfume and anointing Jesus' feet. Simon's not doing that. And Jesus calls him out on it. But I want you to think about this. In the other text, in the Living Bible, we had 5,500. Here we have 500 denarii or 50. You look at some other translations, you'll see silver. What you're going to find consistently is a 10 times power, right? So if I had a $1 bill and a $10 bill or a $100 bill, I'm not a fool. I know which one you'd want, right? If you had a choice between the 1 and the 10, I know which one you take. 10 times greater. And this is the story, that the person who had received 10 times greater the amount of forgiveness of debt was the one who was going to be more appreciative of the debt forgiveness. Simon's so smart, isn't he? You have answered correctly. That wasn't a very hard question, was it? Like, we all, that's so easy. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, yet you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. God is asking a tenth of what we have. One tenth. And let me just say, for the record, the grace that we receive for our debt is far greater than 10 times greater. Am I right? Think about that. He's asking a tenth of us. But is God's grace just 10 times greater than our debt? Exponentially greater. And then we should have this exponential gratitude. And then how are we going to, with love, with mercy, with faith, justice. You know what's interesting about this day, as we celebrate communion, and we think about this woman who comes to Jesus, and she's not worried about any cultural stigma, right? Like, this guy's a prophet. Yeah, he's a prophet. How did she make her prophet? Ooh. She was a prostitute. Not good. Her sins are many. Jesus establishes that. But he also forgives her and says, go and sin no more. Well, I don't know about you, but I keep sinning. Right? It's easy for Jesus to say, go and sin no more. Like, the hard part is for us to go and sin no more. Well, when we think about communion, and we think about that Jesus paid it all, and we think about this story about this woman who felt so much gratitude that she wept at Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and poured that perfume all over him. And all I can think about is that night that Jesus celebrated his last meal, and he washed the disciples' feet. Wow! He's getting ready to do the deal, to die on a cross. And he gets down on his knee and washes his friend's feet, even the one who would betray him and give him that holy kiss in the garden, Judas. Wow. Now, Jesus took that bread and he said, this is my body. This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. And then after the meal, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is the blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins of many. This is what makes us white as snow, the blood of Jesus who paid it all. Let us drink. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing, Blessed Be the Time. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your forgiveness of our sins, that we are a somebody in your eyes, that you have wiped our debt clean, that you have set us free to go into the world to love with faith, to do mercy and justice because of what you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.